us. Amazing grace. We have a great God. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. Now, this morning we're going to be flipping around in Romans a little bit, but if you have your finger in chapter 8, that's where we'll be starting, somewhere around there, and we'll be going back to chapters 1 and 3 at different times and then back again. But if you'd have your Bible open in Romans and then have your green bulletin open to the middle page, there's some verses that we'll be using there also. We're actually in a series on discipleship, and the title of this morning's message is called Understanding Myself. Let's ask God's help. Lord, we pray that we might see ourselves as you have revealed us to be in your word, the scripture. At least that aspect of ourselves that deals with the flesh. I pray, Lord, that this would be so helpful to us today. And I pray that it might be changing, life-changing in our lives. We pray, Lord, that your word would do its work in us. We pray for Jesus' glory. Amen. Let's say that someone is getting themselves into trouble by talking too much, and you're chatting to them about it, and they say, "Don't worry about me, I can handle it." What is there in that statement which shows a lack of understanding of ourselves? Or suppose someone is engaged in a life-dominating sin like alcoholism, some sexual perversion, drugs, eating disorders, or gambling. Why won't a 12-step program restore them to usefulness to Christ? It might restore them to usefulness to the society, but why won't that restore them to usefulness to Christ? Or why is it impossible to actually help somebody by making them feel good about themselves? The answer to all those questions depend on a biblical understanding of ourselves. If I did an evaluation at this point, I handed out some sheets to you all, and I asked you to write down what the Bible says about man, I think a substantial number of us would get it right. We'd get the basics down. Despite that, most of us are not able to apply that knowledge to those three scenarios that I just gave you and be able to give the right answers to those scenarios. Somewhere there is a disconnection between doctrine and life. Do I really see myself as the Bible sees me? And do I see others as the Bible sees them? I want to connect the dots for you today. We need a biblical understanding of ourselves and others. For a biblical understanding of ourselves and others that goes with us from this room into life will change so much. We need a CAT scan of the soul. For surely if we have the wrong diagnosis of man's problems, we're going to have the wrong solutions. There is one who sees past the skin to the soul. His view of man is not a photograph, but a CAT scan. Our souls are laid bare before him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4 and verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." This one who sees our souls like a CAT scan sees our bodies is the one who is... He is the one to tell us about ourselves, just like a doctor is the one to tell us about a CAT scan diagnosis. The Lord himself has given us much understanding of ourselves in his word. God says the soul of man has a cancer called the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 in your Bible says, "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And verse 13 adds, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." The flesh is a cancer of the soul that would kill us without God's remedy. We better have a biblical understanding of the flesh if we're ever to live for God and help others to live for God. A biblical understanding of the flesh will make two major changes in our lives. The first major change that a Bible understanding of ourselves, a Bible understanding of the flesh, will make is our view of ourselves. Our view of ourselves. The cancer of the soul, called the flesh, is also called the old man. For example, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." The flesh is also called the body of sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 in your Bibles, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." The flesh is that part of the human heart that pulls us in the direction of sin, that desires sin. The flesh is like a huge bungee cord pulling us in the direction of sin. Thus the flesh opposes the work of God in our lives. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish." If you are a Christian, you know that the Bible teaches we have a problem with sin, but few Christians recognize the seriousness of the problem. We're like a patient with terminal cancer, a patient that is now getting palliative care, who says, "I'm going to be all right." Yes, we know we have cancer, but we don't think it's that bad. But the biblical CAT scan of the soul is quite bleak. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the Lord can know it. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." No CAT scan could have a sharper image. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And yet we deny it and we say, "Well, that's not me." That's talking about someone else. Paul takes out his spiritual microscope and he says, "Okay, let's do a biopsy then." The pathology report confirms the CAT scan diagnosis. It's just the same, spiritual cancer, terminal. And it says it with these words, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." We murder others with our words sometimes. "Though, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Jim Berg comments, "Unfortunately, we do not understand the treachery that lies within our heart. We sometimes think we are pretty good people who sometimes blow it." The biblical picture is just the opposite, however. We are very bad people who only do good by the grace of God. Yes, he is talking about you, and yes, he is talking about me. The flesh lusts after sin. It is concerned with me, myself, and I, number one. Isaiah observes in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." We all like to do our own thing and have our own way. Paul also says in Philippians 2 and verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." And Paul predicts of our age in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves." To love yourself is thought to be good by the world. To love yourself is thought to be bad in the scripture. Paul's listing this as a sin. He says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. The diagnosis gets worse, for the biblical CAT scan reveals the spiritual cancer of the flesh has affected every part of us, every system of the body, as it were. Well, we're going to have a look at the report, the full report of what God's word says about us. First, the flesh defies God. The flesh defies God. We've already seen the flesh opposes the spirit, but in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, we read this. Because the carnal mind, or the fleshy mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Or to put that in a paraphrase, in your notes, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So our minds defy God. Each one of us has turned our backs on God. We do not want God to be telling us what to do. So in the end, every sin is our defiance of God, our opposition to what God would have us to do. Second, the flesh defiles man. It defies God, it defiles man. Romans says of mankind in general, now flip back to chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It says of man, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile or empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Dark hearts, empty thoughts. When man lives for himself following the flesh, his comprehension of reality, of spiritual reality, of the world round about us becomes clouded. Darkened hearts and empty thoughts. So his mind is affected by the flesh. And then his will is affected by the flesh. And his will is affected in that it becomes stubborn. Psalm 81 and verse 12 says, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. When we choose the flesh against God, God may give us up so that we do our own will, and then we're unable to listen. We refuse to listen to God, and we refuse to listen to anyone who tries to help us. We become stubborn in that particular will. So the flesh will darken the mind, and it will make the will stubborn. And third, when we choose our own way, it affects us emotionally, and we start to get our highs from the world rather from the Word and from God himself. Therefore, we are commanded in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. Our love and our devotion, our joy and our peace are to come from God and not from the world. So the flesh defiles man, his emotions, his mind and his will. The third way the cancer of the soul called the flesh affects us is the flesh deceives man. It deceives man. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I just want you to concentrate on that phrase, the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Why? Because it looks good. It looks like a good choice, but it is not. And so sin, the flesh, deceives man. Fourth, the flesh destroys man. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The flesh destroys man. When the cancer has come to maturity, it kills its host. Sin destroys man. The flesh destroys man. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 says, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. The cancer of the flesh is as toxic to our soul as cyanide is to the body. We dare not, or we do not understand ourselves until we see that we have a malignant, aggressive, terminal cancer called the flesh. Let go, the flesh will destroy us. Now, the biblical example of people being let go was the people at the time of the flood. In the garden, God gave one rule, don't eat of that tree. And man ate of the tree, of course. After the garden, God gave no rule. Man was free. He was let go to do whatever he wished. And being let go, hit the flesh destroyed. He self-destructed. Listen to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is a total denunciation of man at that time. He had self-destructed. Our own society, ignoring the Bible lesson, has experimented with letting go. It's called the permissive society. We have let our children go to do whatever they want, and they are self-destructing on suicide and on drugs. And it is no accident. It is a consequence of the reality of the human heart, which our society chooses to deny. As cancer ravages a body, sin ravages our soul and destroys us. Maybe we're at a party, or maybe there was some family argument, and we say, I can't believe I did that. Or, I can't believe I said that. But a man or woman who understands their own nature is surprised when they do right. We're not surprised when we do wrong. It's only when we think we're pretty good we say, I can't believe I did that. It's only when we think that people are basically good we say, I can't believe they would do that. You see, a 12-step program doesn't deal with the flesh. And making someone feel good about themselves doesn't deal with the flesh. Saying I can handle this ignores the fact that I have a problem with the flesh. Do we understand human nature when we say, my child would never do that? Also, it's a denial of what we are to say, I can't believe that God would send anyone to hell. The amazing thing should be that any of us are ever saved. It's a denial of the flesh that lies within to blame the devil for my sin. No, James's MRI shows that sin lies in the human nature. James chapter 1 and verse 14 says, but each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You see, Satan is active in the world, of course, I know that, but he always has to work through the flesh. There is that problem within us. When we're surprised at sin in ourselves and others, it shows that we haven't understood ourselves yet the way that the Bible describes ourselves. Accepting the Bible's teaching about ourselves will change our view of ourselves, and then that changes everything. The second major change that a biblical understanding of ourselves will make is how we solve the problems of life. How we solve the problems of life. Now, with the right diagnosis, we'll find the right solutions. The way we understand ourselves is the basis of many, it is the foundation of many fields of human endeavor. Let's consider some. First, the area of evangelism. The way we understand ourselves will affect evangelism. All this talk about the flesh and sin is not popular. I understand that. It's not the way to win friends and influence people. But I'm not seeking to get men's approval this morning. I'm seeking to please God. Yet there are plenty of pastors and evangelists who do seek to get men's approval. And seeking to get men's approval, they will not talk very much, or they will not talk at all about sin. They preach another gospel which is not the Christian gospel. They talk about God's love, which by the way is very real. And they talk about contentment, and which is entirely possible in Jesus Christ. But failing to talk about sin, they do not connect people with God's love. and they do not show the way of contentment. Having avoided the diagnosis, they offer wrong solutions. They have not taught the truth regarding people's need, for if they had, they would be trying to rescue people from sin. No man can be saved unless he repents. No man can be saved unless he turns away from sin. And so there must be a recognition of sin in the person's life. And so being saved requires a recognition of the cancer within. For a person to be saved, they must repent. And that's all the prophets and the apostles ever preached. John the Baptist preached in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said that repentance better be real with these words, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. It ought to show in your life that you have repented. Jesus also preached in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus also added, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those who have recognized the cancer within and they have repented, they have turned from that sin. Matthew 11 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus said, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And the disciples also preached the same message. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 12, so they went out and preached people that people should repent. There cannot be any other message from God because we have a cancer in the soul called the flesh and it must be dealt with. We have a wrong gospel today because people have ignored God's CAT scan of the soul. Please accept the diagnosis. Will you repent of your sin today and turn to God? Second, parenting, the second major area where our understanding of the flesh will influence is parenting. Teenage waywardness is blamed on hormones or family background or peer pressure or self-esteem or a range of problems, and they may be contributing factors, but those who deal with teenagers, including parents, usually miss the real issue, and that is the heart of the teen, the flesh, the old nature. A teen who is saved and living for Christ will not go through teenage rebellion because they have dealt with the flesh. They have dealt with the old nature. We must understand ourselves and understand them. It's best, of course, to start with children before the teenage years. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And the reason for that is the sin nature, the flesh. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from him. But that verse is contrary to prevailing opinion in our society. Our society does not believe in spanking. And the CAT scan diagnosis is ignored. And so our society continues to get worse. Even a child is known. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right, whether that flesh is being dealt with or not. That can be even seen in a child. Whilst teen problems are better prevented, a correct understanding of ourselves will even help a teen in the worst of rebellion. We must deal with the cancer within. The third area of Christian endeavor that's helped by our understanding of the flesh is counseling. There is a smokescreen of terms and labels that prevents us getting to the real issues in our lives. Labels like addiction, codependency, damaged emotions, dysfunctional, and personality disorder. Those labels avoid dealing with the inner corruption and deception of the human heart. Equally, as some Christians do, to blame all of our sin on demons that need to be cast out is a misunderstanding of the human heart that those issues are already within us. The Bible gives the solution for our personal problems as being found in God, being found in a person. The solutions are not found in a church. The solutions are not found with people as such, but they're found in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this series, we're seeking biblical heart change. When we're trying to disciple people, we're trying to help them to become like Christ. We're not interested on band-aids on the outside. We're interested in a whole soul change. Remember our analogy of the orange tree from last time? The wild orange tree, and needs to have all those thorny branches removed, and it needs to have all the wild fruit removed, right back to the base. And then that wild orange tree needs a good orange tree grafted in its place that will go on to bear good fruit. So there are three stages. Removal of the bad, which the Bible calls put off. A grafting in of the good, and we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word, Peter tells us, and then a bearing of good fruit, that is the put on that we read in Scripture. Today, we're just dealing with the removal of the thorns. We're just dealing with the removal of the wild fruit in our life. In later messages, we'll be looking at bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Secular counseling and so much of Christian counseling does not deal with the flesh. And because it doesn't deal with the flesh, we don't put off those things that need to be put off. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." And this sin is called deceitful again. It looks good, but it is not. The cancer needs surgery. The wild branches need to be cut off. The fourth area of human endeavor that is affected by our understanding of the flesh is education. When we see problems in our society, the usual answer given by our society is education. I was listening to the radio during the week and they were talking about the road toll. And the solution for the road toll was more education. I mean, already we're putting, 120 hours or something on the young people training, and still young people are not doing right. You see, mere education fails to take into consideration the human heart. Though we know what is right, we don't choose to do what is right. Merely educating people to do what is right does not change the heart. And Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, like sin, that I do." We need God's Spirit indwelling for the power to do right. No progress can be made in any of the fields of human endeavor until we recognize the evil cancer within. Those who have the joy of the Lord have first seen their own wicked heart. We sang Isaac Watts' hymn earlier this morning, written in the 1600s. "Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" People will not talk about being a worm today. They're too proud to admit what they are before a holy God. But the person who will responds with, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. There is a rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ to the one who will see that cancer and deal with it. Similarly, Charlotte Elliot wrote in the 1800s, 200 years later, "Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind." She understood her own heart, didn't she? Then she says, "Sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, your love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be yours, yes, yours alone, O Lamb of God, I come." The book 101 Hymn Stories comments on that particular hymn. Without question, this hymn has touched more hearts and influenced more people for Christ than any other single song ever written. Charlotte Elliot was born in England in 1789. As a young person, she lived a carefree life and gained a reputation as an artist. By the time she was 30, however, her health began to fail rapidly and she became bedridden for the rest of her life. In 1822, when she would have been about 33 years old, a noted Swiss evangelist, Dr. Caesar Millan, visited the Elliot home. His visit proved to be the turning point in Charlotte Elliot's life. Dr. Millan impressed upon her this truth: "You must come just as you are, a sinner, to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Throughout the remainder of her years, Miss Elliot celebrated the day on which her Swiss friend was able to lead her to the Saviour. Although she did not write the text for this hymn until 14 years later, in 1836, it's apparent she never forgot the words that were spoken to her by that Swiss evangelist. Later she wrote, "God sees, God guides, God guards me. His grace surrounds me. His voice continually bids me to be happy and holy in His service just where I am." Can find a home, she could rejoice in her Saviour. In all, Charlotte Elliot wrote approximately 150 hymns. That's a bit of joy. She is generally regarded as one of the finest of all English hymn writers. It is said that after her death, more than 1,000 letters were found amongst her memoirs, expressing a testimony of what that one hymn had done in people's lives. Only eternity will reveal the vast number of individuals whose lives have been dramatically changed through the use of one hymn by a sick woman. It comes from a woman who understood her own heart, and that changed everything. Now let me speak to you personally. Are you a sinner? Has the Bible described your heart today? So then, are you ready to come to the Saviour? If any sinner, any of us, will confess our sin and believe in Jesus Christ's death in our place, we will be counted as if we have never sinned, and the Lord will come in to fellowship with us. Now, those of us who know Christ, have we taken a look at the latest CAT scan of our soul? The cancer of the flesh is still there. When we walk in the Spirit, it is quarantined so that it is powerless, but it's still there. And any time we turn from the Spirit, it reactivates and pulls us in the opposite direction. Do we see our own wicked hearts apart from Christ? Seeing that changes everything. Acknowledging the cancer, I can begin to deal with it. I can have victory over it and make right decisions in the areas of witnessing and parenting and counseling and education. Understanding myself means I can understand others also. We are a needy people. We need the living God for radical surgery of the soul. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we don't like the report we've heard today. It's bad news to us. It's kind of discouraging to think what we are, the problem we have. Oh, but Lord, we thank you so much that you have loved us, and that you have a solution for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I pray for anyone here today who has not yet trusted Christ as their own Saviour from sin. Lord, may your Spirit do a work. May he draw them to himself. Oh Lord, save them, we pray. And Lord, those of us who do know you, may we not pretend that we're good of ourselves. May we see ourselves and be glad of the good that comes from you. If there's any good, it's you, Lord. And we thank you for enabling us the grace to live right. We bless you. Bless you for my brothers and sisters who are kind and helpful, gentle, but filled with peace and joy, for all of that is from you. We acknowledge it today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing Charlotte Elliott's hymn to close this morning, Just As I Am. For those using the hymn books, it's hymn 249.